Katie said earlier, who is also a part of this book, the strategies that Eric is sharing that he and Larry put together are the strategies that'll take you over seven figures. If you're already over seven figures, it'll take you to eight figures, nine figures, 10 figures, wherever you want to go, because these are proven strategies. Please welcome to the stage my friend, Eric Sprague.
That's my goal, bro.
Is the mic on?
Yeah.
Can everybody hear me?
Oh, yeah, I guess you can. All right. Well, thank you, Howard. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really meant every word of that. I would not have the life that I love now if it wasn't for you and the community. And I think Larry and I would be on a carpet truck. And look, there's nothing wrong with being on a carpet truck. I loved cleaning carpet, but that wasn't my original goal. I wanted to be a business owner, and they're not the same thing. So we're going to get into that a little bit. Okay. Thank you, Chief. All right. So wrote a little book with my friend Katie, who knocked it out of the park in her talk today. Thank you, Katie. Just for all of you in the service industry, Katie was our digital marketing vendor through my restoration business and helped me sell the business. So, Katie, thank you. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the book, but more about business in general. I guess I can look up there, except my eyesight's not good enough and I can't read. So, I mean, I can read. Can't read that. So if I turn over here, don't mind me. Yeah, so my name's Eric Sprague. Larry Wilburton standing in the back with the orange suit and the fedora on. Larry's my college roommate. And we'll get into a little bit how I wrangled Larry into being here as well. But I started in the home service industry at 19. I started cleaning swimming pools for the largest home service or swimming pool company in Maine. Howard always talks about how clean as a whistle cleans for George W. H.W. Bush or used to. I used to clean his swimming pool in Kennebunkport. I grew up in Maine. Right? So I fell in love with home services immediately. I loved it as a kid because I wasn't a good student, really. I mean, I was okay, but I wasn't into it. So I used to love to go job to job. And then I got a job out of college as a technician for a company that manufactured golf simulators. And I got to travel all over the world putting golf simulators in houses like Bill Gates and Michael Jordan and Donald Trump and a lot of people that you don't know but are super rich. And I worked up in that business. Within 4 years, I started as a tech. 4 years later, I was VP of operations and had that job for quite a long time. Then started the restoration and cleaning company. We're going to get into that a little bit. That didn't go quite as smooth as I had hoped, and for most of us. And then since then, Howard mentioned, we sold the business, became a business coach, have a company called SuperTech University, which I see some clients out in the thing. And thank you. And Larry and I have a podcast, Blue Collar Nation Podcast, and I have built 3 7-figure businesses. So I just want to build an 8 and a 9, but I'm working on that right now. So anyway, so that's a little bit about me. But Katie stole my thunder, Katie. We all know the answer is 5% of all businesses ever reach 7 figures in a year. Think about that. 5. 100 businesses start. Only 5 are ever going to make it to $1 million a year, right? That leaves for a tough life for the owner, right? Howard talks about it all the time, being a slave to your business, just having to grind, never feeling like you're really getting ahead. Don't ask me how I know this because I've certainly felt this myself, right? So, you know, I wanted to have a 7-figure business. That was one of the first things that Larry and I talked about when we started. So I want to talk a little bit about the journey because it was a weird and tough journey for me personally. So I'm going to go back to when I was, I don't know, I'm probably like 5 or 6 here, right? And even as a little kid, all I ever wanted to do was win. I didn't care if it was Monopoly, kickball, dodgeball. I had to win. The kid's smiling, but you notice behind the eyes, he's a little angry, right? Like, you know? Like, can we hurry up with this photo shoot? Let's go. I didn't know what a high D was back then, but apparently I am one. So, even as a little kid, I knew right away, it's like, I want to win. And winning became a thing for me. It was my everything. Right? I had to win at everything. So I was blessed with, I was a pretty decent athlete. I was an all-star. I was an all-state baseball player in the state of Maine. Won 3 state championships with my high school. We went to the Babe Ruth World Series when I was 13 in Mobile, Alabama, where Howard's from. Full circle, right? So I was winning there. I was constantly getting feedback from people that I'm doing okay at life. And that's like my identity, right? Then I go to school. I start taking school seriously because I didn't like not being at the top of the class. By the time I got out of undergrad, full academic scholarship to Boston College PhD program, right? I worked my ass off for that. And then I realized that professors don't make that much money, and I like money a lot. So I went to work at the golf simulator company and started doing really well. And by the time I was 29 years old, I was VP of operations. I bought a $1 million house in 2000 when $1 million house was really a $1 million house and not tract house, right? Got to travel the world, had a great wife and a couple kids that I really never saw because I worked all the time. We'll get into that a little bit in a minute too. Right? So I'm like winning. I'm getting feedback from life that I'm winning. And I start getting cocky because that's what I do when I start to win. And my ego is not my amigo, as Joe Crisero would say. Right? So I think I got everything dialed. Everything's going my way. And then I had an entrepreneurial seizure, as Michael Gerber would say. I woke up one day and went, everything I touch turns to gold. I should start a business. I can make more money than I'm making now. All right? This is going to be easy. So I kind of like sales, I sold my college roommate on starting a business with me. I'm sorry, dude. So there's us, right? You know, like young, stupid, don't know what we're doing. And we had no idea what we were in for. Like I thought because I had been good at my job that I was going to somehow be good at being an entrepreneur. And I learned very quickly they have nothing to do with each other. Zero. Because I had people who did things for me. And I only had to be good at one thing to excel at my job. And all of a sudden, all trades, master of none. Right? So, to make matters worse, we started January 2nd, 2008. No clients, no training, no clue, and we're making no money. All right? And Larry and I are watching our savings just start to burn away. What happened? Great Recession. We were in the Inland Empire of California, second hardest hit county in the United States. Every other house had a brown lawn. What's a brown lawn mean? Repoed, right? Are people doing home services when they're getting the house repoed? No, right? So Larry and I, oops, I think I went too far. No, maybe not. Okay. So yeah, I realized then, for the first time in my life, the winning is over. All of a sudden, I'm starting to feel like a failure, and I was unaccustomed to that. I did not handle it well, to say the least, right? I was in the fetal position at the end of my bedroom, like every week. Howard said, I was so determined to make this right. I could make a decision. I could get an apartment because I used to commute from LA to Salt Lake every week. We could get an apartment or we could get a bigger shop. I'm like, Larry, let's just get the shop. We're going to blow this thing out of the water. I'll live in the shop. I lived in the shop for 2.5 years. I had to decide every morning, do I wash my hair or do I wash my body? Because we had like 2 minutes of hot water in a water tank that was that big, right? So granted, coming from the life I had been living, I'm not happy at all. Like again, Larry, I'm sorry. I took it out of Larry. So we struggled. We were doing 7 nights a week. We were cleaning, doing janitorial at hair salons. Everybody ever done a janitorial job at a hair salon? You know what the problem is? There's hair. Yeah. All night long, 365 days a year. Larry and I would go sleep for 2 hours and then get out and market go work. I've never been so sleep deprived in all my life. But we were determined that we were not going to quit. We were going to win. We were going to make it. But we also realized that grit and determination are not enough. We didn't have enough skill. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have a plan. We were just trying to work real hard. What's working real hard get you? More hard work, right? Like nothing. So we started moving along, joined the inner circle, met Howard at the show. He wasn't doing boot camps yet, but he was kind of doing some similar version. I went through the boot camp and I went back to Larry and I said, I just joined the inner circle. And he's like, with what? I said, my credit card. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Yeah. But all of a sudden now I got a roadmap. I've got a system. And I like systems. I'm a DC by disc, right? So I want to have a roadmap. And then we started with the inner circle roadmap. I dove in and I started making those systems my own. I started putting them together. Look, I'm not Howard. Howard's not me. I had to tweak them for Larry and my style so that we could run the company that we wanted. So I started putting in the work. But over the time, so this would have been like 2 years into business. I was a completely broken human being by the time this started. I was so messed up from losing that I could barely get out of bed in the morning. I didn't know I was depressed, but I was depressed, right? And I was working all the time. Larry was working all the time. And I recognized through the inner circle that if I was going to fix this, I had to fix me first. I had to put some boundaries on what I was willing to do. Right? So the first thing was protect the product. Well, in most small businesses, what's the product? Me. Larry. Larry wasn't taking good care of himself either, right? So I started daily habits. I'm going to get up. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to start taking care of myself. My mental health had gone to crap. I started meditating, which I never thought I would do. I thought that was kind of some hippie stuff, but it works. I started taking better care of myself. I used to get stressed out, and my coping mechanism, and some people do drugs, some people drink. I would go to McDonald's every single night after work and drown my sorrows in Coke and hamburgers. I put on 50 pounds. And then I had to start getting my energy, like managing it, not work 18 hours every single day, right? Anybody ever feel this way? Hell yeah, right? Sucks. So we had started to grow, and things were better, but I was still working all the time. I was stressed constantly, and I was exercising by this point, but the stress got to me. And on December 16th, 2015, I started keeling over, and I was on a bike ride, and I looked down, and my heart rate was 208 beats a minute on a flat ground. And I went, ooh, I think I'm having a heart attack. And I was 49 years old. And then I called Larry and I said, hey, I think I'm having a heart attack. And he goes, bah, you're fine, dude. Get over yourself, you know. And I joke, but it was the scariest day of my life. And Larry rushed me to the hospital after not thinking anything was wrong with me. And I remember sitting there. They whisked me through. And they're taking my heart rate, and it's like sky high, and they're taking my blood pressure, and that's sky high. And I remember looking at Larry, and I said, dude, I can't die today because our team needs me and my family needs me. And that was a wake-up call. And you know what they told me after they ran all the tests? You have chronic stress. I'm like, you think? It's called Tuesday in my world, right? So after this event, though, my life changed on December 17th because I laid in bed the whole next day and started figuring out, like, yes, we're doing okay. Yes, we have a good business by this point, but it's killing me and it's going to kill Larry, too. And we need to start figuring out a way to not be involved in every single thing in this business. So I started a plan while I'm laying there. I really got to get more serious about this systems building. Like, I think I think we got to do something here. And I also realized that business is an extreme sport. I grew up playing sports, so I can relate to that. Like, the lives that all of us in this room lead have nothing in common with the general public. Like, nothing. Right? We take on more stress. We work more hours. We take more risks. We're doing things that other people will never do. And, like, that's fine. But then we have to treat ourselves then like a business athlete. We have to take care of ourselves so that we are protecting the product, which is us. Right? Entrepreneurs are horrible at that. We have a much higher rate of depression. We have a much higher rate of being bipolar. We have a 30 times rate higher of ADHD. And drug and alcohol abuse is rampant in our world because it's a coping mechanism. You resonate with that? Me too. So anyway, first thing I had to do was take care of myself. Second thing I realized was I've been an employee all my life. We go through a school system where they kind of tell us what to do to train us to be a good employee. Then we get a job and they kind of tell us what to do to be a good employee. And what that leaves us with is a lack of executive function. We don't understand what it takes to run the whole thing. I had to learn that, right? First thing, consistent implementation. Look, I will chase a shiny object. I will run off and go into whatever I think the next cool thing is. Starting to exercise emotional control. I visit places all the time where the owners flip out on their staff. They don't have emotional control, right? These are our CEO skills. We have to build those. We are the CEO of our company. Start doing delayed response. Like if I go to a job and I'm not happy with what I see, I'm not going to go tell the person that I think is doing it today. I'm going to go sleep on it, set up an appointment with them, and then talk about it in a way that I don't have any emotion left. I've already expended that, right? Learning to plan, learning to prioritize, learning to delegate. A lot of us aren't very good at that. Time management skills, right? These are the skills that they don't teach you in school. And a lot of times they don't teach you at your job. So we have to learn these skills. Larry and I learned very quickly when we were broke that we own a sales and marketing company. We just happen to do cleaning and restoration, right? We learned very fast, and this group is super important in that journey, that if we can't sell, we're going to starve, right? If I used to roll up on losses, there'd be a Service Master, a Surf Pro, a DKI, a Paul Davis, and me. We're all fighting for that same job. Me being a little cocky, I used to always go like, you guys can go home now because this one's wrapped up now that I'm here, right? But I had to learn how to sell first that we, most of us, market locally. We're local businesses. We need to be involved in the community, right? Digital marketing. Katie did a splendid job, right? I knew I was never going to be a digital marketer. Larry's out knocking on doors doing referral marketing. We needed to outsource that to her or we weren't going to do a good job. And here's the thing. If you're a super-duper technician or you're a finance person, and this is really weird to you, like you either got to do it yourself or you got to hire it out, right? Because you're every time that you go out and it's not your skill set and you're not making any progress, well, the bills are still piling up. The marketplace doesn't care that you're not like naturally adapted to this, so you better find somebody to do it or you better get good at doing it. These ferns are in my way. So... All right, build and implement systems. This is something that once I got going, I realized I could be good at, right? I'm kind of detail-oriented. I like process. I'm a very process-driven person. But I learned quickly because I was like, we have no systems. And then it dawned on me, well, we have 30 employees, so we actually have 30 sets of systems because everybody has their own way of doing it. And unless it's in writing, you have everybody doing what they do. And I'm guessing you probably don't like it. Are you moving the firm? Thank you. So if you think you don't have systems, you're probably wrong. You do have systems. They're just not the systems that you want people doing. Thanks, Larry. You can't scale chaos. When you have chaos in your business, you can't grow because you spend all of your time putting out fires. Larry and I used to spend an inordinate amount of time putting out fires. I started working with a client. He's in the inner circle. I'm not going to mention his name. And he has a great business, a lot of employees. And I said, how much time every day do you spend putting out fires? He goes, 90%. I said, how's the growth going? I don't know. It's really slowed down. Well, because we need this, right? So we started working on that. And now he's fine. Nobody buys your crappy job. Larry and I sold our business, but the reason we were able to sell our business successfully was that we didn't any longer have to work in the business. We had people there that could do the job for us. Does that mean we never worked or never showed up? No, of course we did. But we didn't have to, and we had people to do it for you. Nobody wants to buy your hard, frustrating job. They're not paying for it, right? It's not fair to your team, and it's not fair to your clients. If I don't have systems and my people keep getting in trouble, is that really their fault or is that my fault? Because I, thank you. You said that with a lot of like disdain. So yeah, it's my fault. It's on me, right? And you probably don't need that many systems. I talked about that for those of the people in the boot camp. I realized really quickly, like, what kept me from building systems? I was like, oh my gosh, there's like thousands of things we do here. Where do I even begin? And then I recognize it's like, why don't I just start with the things that drive us crazy or cost us a lot of money and then fix that? And I'm telling you, I think the first year I started building systems, I might have implemented 12 to 15 systems, and they literally took 80% of my problems out, right? You guys usually probably have the same problems happening with the same things over and over. So you probably don't need to do as many systems as you think you do, right? And it doesn't take as long. Here's the hard one for all of us entrepreneur types, right? It's our baby. Like, this is my thing. I slept in the warehouse. Nobody's going to care about this business like I do, right? I don't agree with that, right? So we have to learn to let go. And that's really called becoming a leader, right? We have to learn to let go so that we can actually lead. So few, if any, especially in our space, like, yeah, maybe you can start an app and get a seven-figure business by yourself, but most of us are going to need people, right? So for us to get to that seven-figure and beyond, we need to make sure that we have people trained to do the things that generally we're not good at, right? Here's the stark reality that I learned very quickly. We're not as talented as we think we are, right? We all think, like, nobody can do this like me. Nobody at all. I remember when we hired our first cleaner, I put him on the truck with me and I said, you're going to be on the truck with me for like a year before you understand how to do this, right? Like, our clients only want me. 2 weeks later, I handed him the keys and said, you're a better cleaner than I've ever been. Go get him. He was with us for like 10 years, right? Like, people didn't even remember my name. So, yeah, we're not as great as we think we are. Usually you can find people who are better than you at what you do, right? Your job is to be the circus master. Make sure everybody knows where they need to be and what they need to do. You got to let go. That's hard. Larry will be the first person to tell you he really struggled with this, right? Letting go was hard for him. So we have to let go. And it all starts with our mind. We have to make the leap from nobody can do this but me because only the owner cares and blah, 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 whatever, right? We have to say, no, there are great people out there. I have to be attractive enough to attract them to me so that then I can build them up, right? I learned this from Floyd. Floyd was the owner of the golf simulator place. Floyd grew up in a trailer park in Kalispell, Montana. And when he died, he lived in that house. And Floyd and I used to go play golf every Thursday afternoon. And Floyd was the same exact age as my dad. He was kind of a second father figure to me. And we'd always go out as two. And he loved to play the course because he loved to get paired with two other people to be like, oh yeah, by the way, that's my house, right? So he'd always like to show off his house. And one day, we were playing with these two other gentlemen, and Floyd kind of always would work in, like, oh, look, they're pruning the cactus at my house today, or whatever, right? So the guy goes, that's your house? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And then he said, you know, what do you do? I manufacture golf simulators. And the guy said, oh, are you like a master inventor? Floyd said, no. Are you an engineer? Floyd said, nope. Are you like a finance guy? Floyd said, no. He goes, so what do you do? And Floyd looked over at me with a big Cheshire grin and looked back at the guy and said, I hire people smarter than me, and then I keep all the money. And that was true. So I learned right there on that golf course that day, like, if I ever want to be an entrepreneur, I've got to fill my company with people that are smarter than me and better than me. Like, we don't have to be intimidated by that. We have to embrace that, right? We don't need to be everything to everyone. And here's what I see. I've been coaching people now for 3 years, and I'm sure, Christian, you see this every day, as Santi does too. The people who are unwilling to delegate, they're unwilling to let people grow within their organization, they stall. And they usually stall, at least in my world, right around $500,000, right? Because what happens at $500,000? You can't go to every job anymore. You can't be taking every phone call. You can't look at every email. You've surpassed that point, and then they just go flatline, right? So we have to get past this. And how we do that is build the team, right? We have to learn how to attract the right people, to hire the right people, to onboard the right people, and how to retain them. I remember years ago, I went to a carpet cleaning industry event called Strategies for Success, and Steve Toburin, who had sold his business, so he was kind of like already getting me thinking about that. He's like, if you want to attract the right people to your business and eventually the right buyer, you have to build a beautiful business. You have to have nice uniforms, nice trucks. The office needs to have a fresh coat of paint. The people need to have good soft skills. You need to be good at sales. And Larry and I, as I'm laying there after the heart thing, I'm like, I got to build a beautiful business or I'm going to be stuck here forever, right? So everything that you want, if you weren't one of the ones that raised your hand with the seven figures, and there's no shame in that, trust me, but everything that you want is on the other side of those six steps, right? If you go do the work and put the time, energy, and effort into those six steps, you can get past that. Now, is getting to seven figures like some miracle event? I remember when Larry and I first hit a million, Leslie, our office manager, came in and said, we just hit a million. And Larry and I looked at each other and high-fived and went right back to work, right? You know, we're like, cool. You know, I'm busy, you know. So it's not like everything in your life is fixed, but you can start at that point scaling up enough to take your life back, to get more time, to do things with your family, right? Like, I hate talking about this, but it's true, so I need to say it. I literally neglected my family for 10 years. I missed my kids growing up. I told them and my wife, I'm doing it for you. But again, I'm doing it really for me. It's my ego, right? I got to build this company. I was doing it for them. But the thing is that you get to that million and you start to get yourself a little bit of time, you can start doing the things that you want to do, right? So here, some people crave cool cars. I've had a couple of cool cars. They're great for 3 weeks, and then they're just my car, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, having cool cars is awesome. Some people have all the investment in the house, nice house. I have a pretty nice house, right? So that's good too. But that's not why I was doing this. That's not what was moving me. All I ever want to do is win, right? That's the most important thing to me. When I just joked to Howard earlier. I said, I only have two emotions, winning and anger. That's it. Kind of get what you see with me, right? So I wanted to get back to this little smart aleck kid who felt like he was winning. That was my prime motivator. That was what got me going every day, right? I wanted freedom. I value freedom over stuff. I wanted to ski every day. If you call me Tuesday or Thursday morning any day or Monday in the winter, I'm probably not going to answer. I'm here, right? This was my payoff. Middle of summer, probably find me on a bike. I used to get up at 4:45 in the morning every day to ride before work, in the cold, in the dark. I hated every minute of it. I'm not a morning person, but I wanted to ride my bike. Now, I take off at 10 a.m. and I get back at 2 or whatever. It doesn't matter as long as I don't have an appointment, right? This is valuable to me. Those kids that I neglected, now I get to spend tons of time with them. They're a lot older than that now. And, you know, I get to go skiing with them. I get to sit and watch TV with them at night. I remember they were telling me some story the other day, and I was like, hey, I don't remember that. And they're like, well, yeah, you were never home. I'm like, okay, that's bad, right? I'm making up for it now because I did the work. Okay. I don't love to travel, but my wife does, so you'll find me traveling a lot more, right? My wife's been putting off and putting off and putting off travel because I was always like, I just go a little more. I just need to get a little bit bigger. Right? But these are the things that now I value, where I didn't before. I had to get to the winning part first. Then I could enjoy them. Right? We're not all wired that way, but that was it for me, and I'm really going to try to not cry here. The best benefit for me was this was worth all the work, all the losing, all the figuring it out, everything, was that in my father's final months, I moved to Maine for 8 months to take care of my parents. And I could never have done that had I not scaled the business and gotten to the point where I could just leave, right? This was worth every night in the warehouse, every time I was in the fetal position wondering how we were going to make payroll, every time I was frustrated, going, man, I can't do this anymore. I think I should quit and get a job. I used to say that like 14 times a day, right? This changed everything for me, okay? It's my dad. And, oh boy, he was very close to the end. He was in and out of the hospital. He was kind of non-communicative at this point. We knew time was really short. My dad was old school. He was a hard ass. He didn't talk about emotions a lot and didn't just dole out the praise. That wasn't who he was. And one night at 10 o'clock, this is maybe a couple weeks before he passed, I got a phone call. I was sitting in my parents' living room reading a book. And it was him, and we had been trying to talk to him for a few weeks, but he couldn't really speak anymore. And I picked up the phone, and he's like, hey, buddy, how you doing? I mean, it's clear as day. And I said, oh, I'm good. Dad, what are you doing up at 10 o'clock in the hospital? And he's like, well, I just wanted to call you and thank you for taking care of us. He's like, we couldn't do it without you. That's what made this worth it to me. So what I decided after that was I want everybody to have the opportunity to do that. I want every single person, if they need to do something that like that, that they can. That they're not stuck at their desk. They're not stuck on the truck. Right? It's not fair. We go into business to be successful and to live the life that we want, not what we have to do. We just have to do the work. We got to go on the right path, right? So I'm on a mission. My mission is to help 1,000 companies get to $1 million in revenue, totaling $1 billion in sales. Think of how many people that helps. I have 1,000 business owners that now are gaining their life back. Think of all the employees that they have to hire because they're growing. We're not stopping at $1 million, by the way. That's just the starting point, right? And think of how many people those good companies are doing work for. It helps everybody. Right? So that is, Larry and I have talked about this a lot. This is our calling. Like, it's not going to be selling the restoration company. I mean, yeah, that was great for us, but who else was it good for? Our family. That's about it, right? So, okay, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with what we learned? We're going to do this. And look, I started coaching a few years ago. My clients are getting results. Paul and Tina, they just joined the Inner Circle recently. They were at $500,000 for 21 years straight. When I met them, Tina, who's all like 4'10", was out with a hammer doing the work on the truck with Paul, right? And they had like one employee. And Paul called me and was like, if I don't figure this out, I'm going to quit. I can't do this anymore. This is just too hard. First year we worked together, they did 1.5. Second year, they did 2.3, I think. They did 3.2 this year, right? they're going to get to 10 million, right? They're going to, Michael, they're going to be like you. They're going to figure it out and they're going to do it, right? Levi Gain, another Inner Circle member, coach him. I started working with him a year ago. He was at 480. We got to 760 just by doing the stuff that we're talking about today, right? He is on pace right now to do a million, right? His dad owned this owner-operator carpet business for 30 years. I'm not sure they ever did over 100 grand, right? Scott Turknet has a restoration company in Alaska. He hit 975, which shows that he had some of this going, and just literally hit a wall and couldn't get past it. Just was stuck because he was involved in everything. So his capacity was maybe higher than a lot of people, but he got stuck. Started working with me. He did 1.5 last year. We added 525 to the top line. He'll do 2 million this year for sure, right? So these things work. I have clients. It's just three. I have a bunch of them that are doing similar stuff. But we just work the system. We work on the owner. Then we work on getting them some leadership skills. Then we work on putting systems in. We make sure their marketing's good, and they start to grow. Imagine that. Most of us also don't need to learn new things. We need to be constantly reminded of the things we know we should be doing. That's my job, right? So, real quick, with Howard, I flew to Destin in February, and Howard and I started talking about some of this stuff. We're going to offer an 8-week Road to Seven Figures fast track, right? I don't know how much time I have. Christian, how much time do I have? I'm good? Okay. Yeah, we're going to do 20 seats because a Zoom call with more than 20, like, sucks, right? It's just too many people. You don't get to talk to anybody. If more people want to do it, we'll start a wait list and then start a second class or something. But today we're going to do 20. And my thingy doesn't work anymore. It went? Oh. Okay. So, yeah. Week one, developing winning daily habits, right? Because if we're not good, we're not going to be good for anybody else. Executive function, like we talked about, we're going to go do a deep dive and make sure that everybody has the skills that they need to do that. Understanding people, we'll do deeper dive than DISC. I mean, most of the Inner Circle members are already pretty well versed in that, but we'll go deep on that and how to use it like as a sales tool, especially. Week four, we'll implement business systems, how to take and find those 10 or 15 systems that are going to be the biggest lever for you and get those in play, not trying to get bogged down with, I got to do 1,000 systems, right? Job costing and business financials. I ask every single client I have the job cost. I just talked to Jeremy about this. How many of you think do? Zero, right? This is the greatest tool I ever had. Because if I job cost every job, I know if I'm bidding it right. I know which crews are fast and which crews are slow. I know if my estimator's like giving too much stuff away. Larry, right? Marketing, Katie's going to grace our presence with a marketing week, right? That's worth it right there. Hiring and onboarding. Have an onboarding system, right? We get a honeymoon period for about 2 weeks with a new employee. If we don't show up for them, they check out. They feel like they made the wrong decision. Like, what did I do? I joined this crazy company, right? We need to put our best foot forward in that honeymoon phase. And then learning to lead and let go. It's a mindset thing, right? And we're going to go deep on this. I mean, very, very deep. In addition to that, 8 weeks, I'm going to put a bunch of pre-made systems in our Facebook community so anybody that joins can use those. You'll be assigned an accountability partner because, like I said, we need to be reminded consistently that we need to do these things and we need someone to answer to, right? I'll have weekly office hours, so if anybody wants to get a hold of me individually, they can. And then we'll have a community Facebook page for this, right? My goal is within the confines of the Inner Circle to get as many people to seven figures as humanly possible. That's my goal. All right, so like all those people that you saw up there, I charge them $23,000 a year to try to move that. So if you put that in some perspective, Paul and Tina get to $3.2 million. That's 2% of their yearly revenue to me to grow the rest, right? I'm not charging 23 grand, by the way, just so you know. But you'll get that. You'll get the recording every week. So if you want to share it with your team or your managers or whatever, you can do it. If you want to go back because you didn't, you know, maybe you weren't able to be there. So that's $497 value. SuperTech University, which is soft skills training for field service technicians. I know we have a lot of field service people here. Larry and I will include the economy package, which is $247 a month. So that's worth $2,964 a year, right? That will be included. And then Katie was nice enough to give us an AI workshop, right? Which I'm going to take that, by the way, because I don't know how to do that very well. So that's worth $97. We'll add that. We're at like $3,500. And then we have books out front. You get a signed copy. And I want to make a note about the books. I had to super rush to get some books here. And there might be a couple problems, so we're going to fix that in the next edition. But just bear with me, okay? I think Larry's giving away red pens to mark my work up. Thanks, buddy. Love you. And then, so we get that. And then here's bonus number 5. And I saved the best for last. And I think Howard left, but I kind of twisted Howard's arm a little bit, right? Howard's going to give away a call to anybody that joins to talk about the things that he had to do to get to his first million to help you with those questions, right? Howard normally charges $1,000 for that. So that would bring all the bonuses and the 8-week class. All the giveaways are about $5,000 in value. Larry and I sell this class. We just sold one out at $1,000, roughly, I guess, $997. But we're going to do for the Inner Circle because I love this place so much. 50% off. If you use the 50 off, that's a 50OFF. I had to type that like 19 times to see if I was doing it wrong, right? So if you just use 50 off, and I'm going to put a QR code up in a second, you'll get, so it's like $498 or whatever it is, right? So I want to make this affordable because I want to reach my goal of helping 1,000 companies get to $1 million or more, right? And however many classes we need to do, that's how many I'm going to do because I am re-energized. This has re-energized my feelings about business. Like after we sold, I was kind of complacent. I was just like lounging around. My wife's like, you really need something to do. Yeah. Goal-oriented, right? So here's the dates. It starts on the 23rd. We're going to go every Thursday night at 7 Eastern. Look, they might go an hour. They might go an hour and a half. It just depends on how we're rolling, right? We're not going to just cut it short. But we will take 4th of July off because nobody should work 4th of July. We're in America. And, all right, here's my take on this. If you can't make $497 back, that's on you, man. Like, that's not me. I know I'm providing enough value that, like, if you can't, like, 100x that or something, like, whatever. So, anyway, it shouldn't be a price thing. And then here's a QR code. Anybody that wants to sign up, go ahead and sign up. And then if you don't like the QR code thing like Katie was talking about, go see Larry. He's around, and he'll do that. And I don't know if we have any time left, but does anybody have any questions? I think we have. Michelle, do I need to get off the stage? Yeah? Okay. Thank you, everyone. No questions, I guess.